Tuesday, January 8th, 2005. This is part 2 session. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Peace be upon you. My name is Osama Abdallah, and I am the owner of www.answering-christianity.com. This audio session will be divided into two main sections. First section is regarding muta, that is temporary marriage, in the Bible. And the second section is regarding my detailed rebuttals to Sam Shamoun's responses to both part 1 and part 2 audio sessions. Now let us look at muta in the Bible, Sam Shamoun's Bible. Let us look at Exodus chapter 22 verses 16 through 17. If a man seduces a virgin who is not pledged to be married and sleeps with her, he must pay the bride price and she shall be his wife. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he must still pay the bride price for virgins. These verses raise very interesting points. First of all, there is no fornication punishment of flogging as it is in Islam for the man and the girl. His only punishment is to pay a bride price. But what if the girl is not a virgin? What if she's a divorced woman? It is clear that these verses do not apply to her, or would not apply to her. This means that fornication for non-virgin females is absolutely not punishable in Sam Shamoun's Bible. This means that the boyfriend-girlfriend relationships that we have here in the Christian Western societies, where bastard children are born in the hundreds of thousands every day and every year, are not actually forbidden in the Bible. The dilemma with this, however, is the following. 1. Too much freedom that men and women are given promotes a great deal of sexual immorality. 2. Sexually transmitted diseases, or STDs, along with AIDS and pregnancy among young teenagers who are not virgins, are encouraged in the Bible. Also, there doesn't seem to be an iddah period for the woman in the Bible. The iddah period is the 3 months waiting period for the divorced woman, as it is mentioned in the Noble Quran. If this is so, which it is so, then the woman can marry another man the very next day from her divorce. This will allow her to become a, quote, prostitute, end quote, in Shamoun's analogy. Because now she can marry and divorce, in less than a week and become a prostitute, as Shamoun's analogy suggests. So prostitutes exist more in the Bible, practically in the Bible, and they are virtually impossible in the real Islamic society because there are so many restrictions that would prevent a bad woman from becoming prostitutes in Islam. Here is my open challenge to Sam Shamoun. Where in the Bible are non-virgin girls forbidden from having sex with their boyfriends? Now to my rebuttal section. This is rebuttal number 1. On Monday, January 14, 2005, Sam Shamoun wrote a very laughable, quote, rebuttal, end quote, to my audio sessions that will be shortly debunked. He first addresses the Exodus verses in chapter 22, verses 16 through 17, and said that the fact that the man is paying a bride price to the virgin girl's father proves that she was equivalent to be his wife, which would then take away the shame of her fornication. This is quite absurd at best, because the girl, regardless of the amount of money she receives, is still physically deflowered, meaning that she lost her virginity. And in no way she would be equivalent to a chaste virgin girl. He then raises laughable question by saying, quote, how in the world can anyone claim that this is analogous to muta? My response to that is that actually this is worse than muta, because while muta is temporary marriage, which is no longer allowed for Muslim men because they no longer have to travel on foot for hundreds and even thousands of miles on foot to either go fight in battles or do peaceful missionary work, and was a legal marriage with dowry pay for the woman and obligations upon the man to take care of her, this fornication act in the Bible is nothing but a shameful illegal sex. And like I said in the audio session, if the man sleeps with a non-virgin girl, such a divorced woman, then there is no bride price upon him. Here is further proof from the Old Testament that tolerates fornication with ordinary non-virgin girls. Let us look at Leviticus chapter 21 verse 9. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father, she shall be burnt with fire. Now this verse raises an interesting issue. If the girl is the daughter of a priest and she commits an act of sexual sin, whether she's virgin or non-virgin, single or married, then she must be burnt with fire. She must be executed with fire. But if she's an ordinary girl, then nothing in the Bible says that she has to be punished, especially if she is non-virgin. This only promotes having bastard children and getting infected with STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, and AIDS, along with promoting destruction of chastity and morality in the society. He then went on to quote Paul's books in the New Testament, which came literally between 2,000 and 3,000 years after the law of Moses, if not even more. And he gave dubious references to the following verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 1 through 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 8 through 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 25 through 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 36 through 39, and Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 3. All of these verses did nothing but talk about the relationship between the husband and the wife and Paul's advice for single men to marry when they feel they need to get married. In fact, the strongest verse from Sam Shamoun's collection here is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 8 through 9. I'm going to go ahead and quote it. It says, "To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion." All what this verse is talking about is the physical pain that the person who wants to get married is going to suffer. And Paul's advice to him or her is simply, is to go ahead and get married. Nothing of sexual sinning is addressed here whatsoever. So as we clearly see, not only Sam Shamoun's references are dubious at best, but they're also quite absurd because they came literally thousands of years after the law of Moses, which simply proves that the Bible followers had always believed that fornication with non-virgin girls or women is allowed. And it is also worth noting here that Sam Shamoun is actually openly admitting that the Old Testament contains absolutely nothing about prohibiting fornication with non-virgin girls. And yet now he has to appeal to dubious verses that are far worse than the actual silence of the Old Testament in his New Testament to try to desperately prove that sexual fornication with non-virgin women, like such as in a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, it doesn't necessarily have to be through prostitution, that this relationship, even if it's based on love, is not allowed in his New Testament. With this, ladies and gentlemen, and my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I end my refutation to Sam Shamoun, and I pray that Allah Almighty would open up the hearts and minds of all of the listeners, including Mr. Sam Shamoun himself, and to lead them to a true worship of the absolute one and living God Almighty, and to associate no partners with him. Thank you, and may God Almighty bless you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah Almighty's peace, mercy, and blessings be upon you.